Hello and welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And this is like that time of the year where there's just almost like way too many good games all at once. They've like bottled them all up, like literally at like October, November, December. You know, it's that thing where it's like, there's always been that dry spell in the summertime. And I always thought it was so weird. They're like, you know, we don't want to sell video games in the summertime, you know. Well, kids are out of school. Good, they should go fucking outside. Like, oh, that's what the video game companies are saying? Yeah, that's what we're fucking saying. We got to work on this shit so that your parents can fucking buy them Christmas presents. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, shit, we don't got time to be releasing no summer games for you guys. Oh, look at me. I got time off. No. We want you to struggle. We want you to have a really hard time getting these games beaten, but you're going to buy them all anyways because you know yourself. You know what I mean? You don't want to be, like, be left out of anything, right? You know? You're going to make that stack that you know you can't complete.
For the poor kids whose parents never buy them games for Christmas, we need them to use this time to make money so they can buy it for themselves on Christmas.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
Some wooden picket fence or some shit, you know?
You know, throw some newspapers around. I don't know what you guys do, but
you know, one of those things.
Yeah, exactly. But it is. It's just like one of those ones. I feel like it's like the bombardment where you like you get that peer pressure of like, okay, I got to finish this game by this weekend, this game by the next weekend, and so on. And you start like looking at it like you're building up this like, you know, work plan and schedule and so on like that. And I ended up finishing the new Batman. At least I got that one out of the way before Sonic the Hedgehog came out. So that was kind of nice to go through there. And I totally enjoyed that game. It's one of those ones. I know some people online were talking like, it's just okay or something like that. I'm like, well, you probably just don't like Batman then. That's all I gotta say.
And to keep it to DC just for a second, for people who clicked on the thumbnail, we will be talking about Superman 76, just a little quick opener, because a lot of shit has come out. And but yeah, I haven't had a chance to play that because I don't have my PS4 is not back yet, and I don't have a next-gen console, and Switch ain't running that, so...
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't played that one yet, but I did get Sonic Frontiers. I'm trying to beat that as quick as possible because the new Scarlet and Violet comes out next week. So we can almost do back-to-back video game episodes after this. I'm trying to just plow through Sonic as fast as possible, no pun intended, so we can cover that for next week or week after.
Well, it'll be interesting to know kind of how long Sonic really is, because realistically, let's be honest, there's never been a long Sonic game. Sonic games have always been pretty quick. You know, they might give you some things that will take your time. You know, you got to collect all these extra emeralds or extra things, or there's, you know, get the high score on every single level and stuff like that. But, you know, the core game of any Sonic game has always been pretty darn quick, you know?
I heard that this one, Frontiers, is about like 15 hours if you just focus and just don't fuck around or anything. But even that...
That's still pretty long.
Yeah, that seems pretty long for a Sonic game. I mean, I guess Adventure 2 or Adventure, you could probably knock out like in 6 or 7 hours, give or take, maybe. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've fully sat down and played those through. But... this one right here, yeah, I am... Well, we're probably going to cover that next week or next episode and however far along we are. But on first impressions, I'll say this. I like it. I think it's overall pretty good. I think it's a good game that's poorly made, short and simple of it.
Really? Because, I mean, like, so far, because I just played it last night when it kind of finally came out, and... like, overall, I was like, okay, it plays pretty good. It's fun. It's got kind of all the Sonic elements in it and so on like that, you know, just to sort of start it off. I did like how you could adjust the way Sonic moves in the settings, because that's been kind of like a problem I sort of had of sort of the last handful of Sonic games, kind of the games sort of post-adventure, is that sometimes some of those 3D ones, like, they made it so Sonic, he, like, doesn't turn very good anymore. That's, like, the best way to sort of describe it. You know, like, because in Sonic Adventure, he turns, like, on a dime. I mean, oh, he probably turns on, like, you know, like a pebble almost. Like, almost a little, probably too extreme for the average person. But I felt like once you sort of got used to Sonic playing like that, and then they made it where, like, when you turn, it's almost like he's, like, it's like taking an old pickup truck and trying to, like, turn around in a driveway sometimes with him. It's like, dude, what is going on here?
Yeah, that's how I felt about more of the
like Colors was like that.
Colors, Generations was like that, even though Generations is a pretty good game.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, those games aren't still, they're still good, but it's just that turning is weird.
Well, that's, the, even those games, though, the boost style games are ones games where you just run forward and you just keep running and you get an occasional turn or drift. So there wasn't as much room for exploration. Where this game, in the 3D world, he functions great. I think there is some of that classic, what, just modern Sonic. I mean, keep in mind, Sonic's my, keep in mind when I say this, this is your first time tuning in, Sonic is my, probably my favorite video game character. So this all comes from love, all right? And I'm not one of those people who has like a ridiculously high standard. I'm going to say, as a Sonic fan, I really like the game so far. But there are definitely things in the game where just like, guys, come the fuck on. Really? You know? And one of those is, they, because, you know, like this game, it does the thing where it's, you know, Sega does what Nintendo don't. Well, not anymore. You guys are pulling a lot from fucking Breath of the Wild, and I know everyone's said that, but at this point, they're doing the thing where instead of going into temples and doing some kind of little, like, physics puzzle or something like that, or you're just basically playing, like, new versions of old levels. But at the same time, when you go in those, you have, they plop, that's the 3D world Sonic into the 2D or into these levels where it's more like a narrow hallway, and that Sonic does not control well in these boost style gameplay. He does not control. He is so stiff. Like the whole thing about Sonic, he ever jumping and hitting a bad guy and just keep on running. This one, he jumps, he hits a bad guy, and he stops dead. And that makes sense for a 3D world where you got to stop and battle people. But in this, it's like, what the fuck? Whenever I have to go into like the subspace levels and it's just kind of like reused assets from Sonic Generations and it's like, but plays worse, I just fucking dread it. Like, here we go. I got to get like 3 or 4 fucking keys for this thing to go on to the next thing. But beyond that, I'm really liking the game for the most part.
Yeah, well, because I noticed that once I sort of, because I made it so Sonic can turn, like I upped the sensitivity of Sonic's turning and everything like that, and that kind of made a big difference, because even, it still affects those levels too. I mean, he does still have that sort of locked off turning, where it's not the, it's just not like a regular 3D world turning anymore, like, but being able to at least adjust those settings did kind of make a difference. Like, I felt like I did get it where it did play better than Colors and maybe even Generations and so on like that. It is kind of strange that it's like, I didn't expect to have those levels. I thought everything was going to take place sort of almost like in that big open world kind of ness and so on. Then it's like, oh no, they're still regular Sonic levels thrown in there. And even the, it's got like the ones where I don't like the 2.5D ones. I think those are the ones in like the last, like, because even in Sonic Generations, I don't really like those 2.5D levels. I don't know what it is. I feel like Sonic plays funny, like, in all those games, unless it's Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Part 1 and 2, like, especially 2, like, he plays funny in, like, a lot of those, like, 2.5D levels where it's just, like, it just doesn't feel like he jumps as good as he should and moves as, you know, fluidly as he used to, I guess, like, as in, like, 2D games.
Well, there's weird roundabouts, and for people who, like, are strictly, like, you get some person who just loves Superman 78, and they're just waiting for someone to talk about it, and they God, like, I didn't come on to listen to this for the fucking Hedgehog, but,
Well, let's be honest, like, our podcasts have, in back in the olden days, they actually used to have a lot more of an introduction period. We just kind of, at one point, got to the point, like, fuck it, let's just get to it, going.
Yeah, but, like, and we will get about Superman in a second, but, the whole thing with this game, though, I feel like, because the thing about a lot of old Sonic, about, like, modern Sonic is, since it was kind of like, you know, all the episodes, all the levels, basically long hallways, he had the double jump, and then a bad guy would pop up, and then it automatically turns into the homing attack. Well, in the open world, the homing attack and double jump are two different buttons. And that took a minute for me to get used to. And even though I'm kind of more used to it by now,
they did still that in one of the other Sonic games, because I think Colors is like that too. And I remember that threw me.
Colors did it also.
Because I wanted to say the last two, and I almost even wanted to say the Sonic Forces game even had that. But maybe it's just Colors, because like that's the thing, is I kind of miss when Sonic was just like, in a sense, like one or two buttons, instead of now he's like using the entire control deck.
The whole controller now. Well, it's also, they gave him some Dragon Ball Z moves in this more so than before. And on top of that, he also, like, I'll be honest, maybe he did in other games, but I only played through Colors and Forces once. I liked Colors, but it wasn't a game like I loved. You know, I liked it. Like, that was fun. And then maybe I played a couple random levels, but I only played through it once. And then Forces, I played it once. And that was that, because that, yeah. Anyway, but this one, I'm liking it. There is some of that, you know, kind of like, I think that I've heard, like, I'm liking where it's going. I look forward to this game, and I look forward to, like, they don't all have to be open world, but I think they should elaborate on this. Kind of like, I know that's the whole thing. Like, Sonic fans are tired of this, but they want more of this. They want to tired of that, but they want more of that. You know what I mean? There's all this back and forth. Like, I'm at the point where I am very tired of Green Hill Zone. However, I don't mind if you take elements of it, just don't make it directly Green Hill Zone, and kind of make it look more like, I guess the whole thing with this game is it doesn't look like a Sonic world. It looks like Sonic somewhere else. Maybe that's part of the theme, but I guess that feels kind of weird since it's been 5 years. But at the same time, it's also one of the first 3D Sonic games with good writing, because Ian Flynn is penning the script. So, and there's, we will have to find out next week or next episode, whenever we get further into the game. But I hear they actually start to go in and connect more of the lore, which the games have not done in a long time.
That's cool to hear. Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, you know, story-wise, I mean, it's kind of, like, straight to the point. Like, Dr. Robotnik's fiddling of shit he shouldn't be, you know, and it just sends everybody into, like, you know, the, you know, digital world or what have you. So it pretty much sends them into, like, a, you know, Breath of the Wild prototype.
And it was in beta.
Yeah, exactly.
Back,
you know,
they're still playing with the idea that when they're playing with the idea of, like, maybe Link's finding aliens in this one.
I mean, it's really not the first time, because, like, also, like, you know, there was that Sonic Wii U game where also, like, it was literally pretty much like Sonic the Hedgehog Mario Galaxy style. So Sonic's been kind of, yeah, like, aping those things for a while. But I think this one overall, it plays fine. It's fun. It's interesting. I want to see kind of where to go next. It definitely has that feeling like it kind of like, I had a hard time almost even putting it down last night, because I was like, oh, you know what? I probably need to go to bed at some point. But I was like, just kind of like, well, I'm just going to run over here real quick and see what this does. Oh, I'm gonna see, oh, okay, shit, fucking Amy's right there. Okay, okay, got that going. Let's see what's over here. And then you just keep falling down the rabbit hole of places to go. And so I think that's kind of cool. Like, so far, in like an hour's worth of play, I would say it's probably one of the best Sonic games I've played in like the last 20 years.
It's probably one of the best ones I've, one of the three best 3D ones I've played, probably since like Adventure 2. Not to be a dick, I know a lot of people kind of like, I know a lot of newer, younger kids get mad when you like shit talk on Sonic Unleashed or Sonic Colors, and I get why people like those ones, but for me, it's like, this is probably one of the best 3D, I mean, it still has its problems, but I think Sonic Adventure 1 and Sonic Adventure 2 have their problems too. So
yeah.
We'll see where this one goes. I will say, I think they were getting called out on for like how much they pull from Star Wars and Dragon Ball Z. And, you know, that's still probably maybe there to some extent, especially the Dragon Ball Z aspect. But I feel like they watched a lot of Evangelion leading up to this. The way the robots look, they look like Evas, or they look like the fucking angels. Even that little, like, you know, sage AI thing looks like fucking Rey.
Yeah, no, that is definitely true. Like, it definitely has a lot of that kind of going in there. So, I don't know, it's just one of those ones. I think it's overall pretty sweet, you know? And, as I said, you know, I don't think it's going to, like, you know, screw the pooch halfway through or something like that. It seems like they even fixed, like, so many of the many of issues that were, like, in Sonic 2006. Like, oh, cool, you can lock onto the enemies. You know how great that would have been back then? Boy, I tell you. Just so the camera's not looking at the other, you know, exactly where the enemy not isn't. But yeah, no, I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on here. And I hope this is just that kind of next good step that Sega needs for Sonic the Hedgehog, you know. I mean, Sonic Mania was great, but Sonic Mania kind of was like, you know, half a greatest hits thing and half sort of a new game. Like, this is kind of nice to see a full-on new game.
Yeah, I would like them to take this, and I don't want to sound like I'm nitpicking, and make the thing that's inside my head and my head alone. But, I mean, I would like them to basically kind of take a similar kind of gameplay and controls, and, you know, but make it a little bit more of, like, kind of resembling Sonic's world, Sonic's levels.
Yeah.
Not Green Hill. Doesn't have to be Green Hill. There can be a beach level, whatever, but it doesn't have to be all the things we've seen in every other game. Just make it look like something that kind of like most Sonic, like something that that clicks into his universe. But I'm still curious. But they're in a different dimension or something, so it makes sense for the context of this game. But I look forward to where it goes, and we'll cover the rest of that next week or next episode.
Yeah, exactly. No, cool stuff there. But then, you know, with DC giving us more stuff, you know, past, you know, all the movies, even the Mortal Kombat and all that kind of stuff, there's a Superman 78 graphic novel finally came out. And, you know, we read the Batman 89 one where it was like, hey, here's sort of a what if, you know, Batman, alternative Batman 3, you know, story done in comic book form. And that's almost what Superman 78 kind of feels like. It's like, here's the alternative version of Superman 3, you know what I mean? And this time around, we actually get Brainiac. It's not just like that. It wasn't just like in an early draft script anymore, you know.
Well, it's also like Batman 89, like that script, or the comic for it at least, it kind of had this thing where it was taking certain characters and certain moments or certain characters and certain like locations, but it felt like I was just reading another Batman comic. It just happened to be Billy Dee Williams. Or it happened to be Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, or you know, like, or like, and there'd be some of those things they do, like in the 90s, they would have changed this, or in the 90s, they would have changed it to that, you know. But at the same time, like it felt more like not kind of like a third movie, more of just kind of a comic that just takes place, just has a couple of like little things from it, and I guess I got a little bit more of like that with this. But I actually liked this one more than 89.
I agree, too. Well, this one, I feel actually, it feels like this one hits the Superman, like, 78 kind of, like what it says it's doing. Like, I feel like it hits, like, if it was a third one, this one definitely gets it a lot more stronger. Where the Batman 89, it even had stuff in there where it's like, well, I feel if this came out in 1995, it wouldn't have went like this. You know what I mean? Like, it still had some, like, someone was kind of, they still were sort of modern writing and trying to kind of piece the, it was almost like they were doing two things at once. They were doing like a modern thing, and then they were trying to piece together, like, let's try to make it like if it was an alternative third Batman.
And the other thing with 89, even though I think we both liked it, we both enjoyed it, it felt, how do I put this? It felt kind of like, it didn't really, I feel like the third act is where it really picked up, and the first two acts kind of meander. But like when all the Two-Face shit goes down, because for a while Two-Face is on, which I guess in Tim Burton fashion, it kind of worked that way. Like Harvey Dent was almost the main character for a while of it, and Tim Burton was always more focused on the villains than the heroes. So I guess it makes sense in that aspect. But at the exact same time, it kind of like, I didn't feel like, it didn't feel as big or as epic as the third Batman movie of the 90s that would have been out or coming out or anything like that. It just felt kind of like another comic that just happened to have some of that kind of iconography. Where this one, it's a little bit of that, but I think it still does it better. I just think that this, I think that these six issues, like the What If sequel to these old movie franchises, I think that they kind of would benefit from like one or two more issues to give it more of like a movie length and more of a movie pace.
Well, because in a sense, like, I feel like, because I think that these, I almost want to say Superman was only, is it six? I thought it was five issues almost.
But, it's six, I think. It's five or six.
It's like, because I feel like five or six issues, like, that's almost like, I would say it's about the equivalent of like an hour and a half movie. Because, you know, you got to think about, like, I always think, like, a singular issue is pretty much, like, 20 to 25 minutes worth of content, depending on how many pages it is, you know, if it was, like, a movie script. So I feel like, yeah, once you kind of add up, like, I mean, that technically should almost be, like, a two-hour-long movie, but sometimes it feels just a tad bit shorter, like, you know. And I feel if it was a Superman movie, it probably would be, like, two and a half at least.
Well, the first Superman movie is 2.5 hours. I think the second one is only like 2 hours, give or take. And then I think three and four are just like hour and a half. Like, let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact that four is definitely, it's like an hour and a half. I think three is like still a little bit like close to 2 hours, but But yeah, and then I also got the 3-hour cut of the first movie too on Blu-ray.
I still have not seen that. I gotta watch that at some point though.
Yeah, it was kind of those ones. It's like it's more like one of those ones where it's definitely like the one where it's like, let's just throw all the extra scenes in there to make the movie longer and more epic. But that's never a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like this one, I think one thing about it is it does open up with the whole like, hey, I know you all forgot, so let's just rehash it at the beginning. He's on a planet, right? Like, yeah, we know he's on a fucking planet. And the planet's about to blow up. We know you fucking read this before. Like, yeah, a few times.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's one of those ones, like, when it's sort of set up, is like, but instead, well, here's the twist, guys. Here's the twist. Okay. I know, like, you know, Cal's getting, and Laura's getting real sad right now because they got to send their only son off to space and they're going to blow up and it's going to be terrible. But, Brainiac's there and he just captured them in a bottle. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Well, happened in other Superman. Shut the fuck up! You never seen a Superman 3 movie? Well, yeah, you do got a point there. Yeah, exactly. That's all that matters.
Only 5 people have seen Superman 3. No, like,
well, it's got drunk Superman in it. That's like the best part of it. Drunk Superman is amazing. And he's flicking the peanuts and breaking the bottles.
And then he has that whole, like, fight with himself in the junkyard, you know, his internal fight or whatever.
Superman 3's got some good, it's got some good moments. Not like as a straight Superman movie, it's, you know, it's definitely off, but if you watch it like just from like a different perspective, there's some great stuff that happens in that one.
People might say shut the fuck up, but I really think there's a lot of parallels to Superman 3 and Spider-Man 3 when you really think about it.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
The whole, because, you know, how often do you see at that point in time, Superman's confronting his dark side, you know? And then you also, there's clearly some last minute rewrites and where they put in, where in Spider-Man 3, they jammed a villain in there at the last minute. This one is just like they took a villain out at the last minute, you know?
And then they jammed Richard Pryor in there.
Exactly.
I still think Richard Pryor should have just been straight up Brainiac. That would have been awesome.
That would have been interesting. Well, I'm wondering like how that all turned around, how they all basically, if it was him or if somebody was like, you know, no one wants to see Richard Pryor be a bad guy. No one wants to see Richard Pryor turn into a robot and attack people. I mean, maybe I could even see it being kind of like, Richard Pryor really likes Superman. He wants a role in the movie. Oh, we'll figure something out for him, you know, and they just like rewrite the whole thing. Like, what do we do with this Brainiac character? Who gives a fuck? We got Richard Pryor.
Yeah. I think something like that kind of happened more than anything else, you know. But, like, I just like the idea of, like, you know, just fusing the two together. Being like, because, you know, back in those days, that is when it's, like, that era where, no, if you're a good guy, the audience can't handle if you're, you know, you do something dastardly in a movie and something like that. You know, sort of like how...
Unless it was Once Upon a Time in the West, which, because at the time, everyone hated it, but then became respected later on the line.
Yeah, see, there's, for example, at the time, everybody hated it, so it goes to show that...
I was thinking retroactively, yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those ones, or it was like Japan back in the day, like, they could just not handle... No, what's it? Maybe, no, it's China. China's the one that back in the day, if you there was no way that a good actor character could ever play a bad person. Just would not fly whatsoever to the regular Chinese people. I remember Jackie Chan was mentioning that, like, in his book, I think. You know, so, like, if Jackie Chan played, like, a bad guy, that movie pretty much couldn't come out in China.
Wow.
Because the economy would just drop, people would be raging in the street. Rickshaws would be thrown overboard.
you cut to like Tibetan monks light themselves on fire in front of the consulate or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just all because Jackie Chan played a bad guy.
That's what happened in that him and that Pierce Brosnan movie. Even though I'm sure he's sympathetic or deep down he's actually the good guy, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, he technically is.
They advertise as the bad guy.
Probably in the Chinese version, like, it's edited as he's like the... Here's this good Chinaman, you know, trying to do what's right, and there's just this dirty Irishman trying to keep him down the whole time. it's like 1868 all over again. Well, that was really just British people. Same fucking difference in our book.
Well, it's like, we'll even go into this right here. Going back to Superman, it is kind of weird when you think back on Superman 3 because it was this really weird, confused movie. It had some good moments in it, but it was this... Because after Superman 2, you're like, holy fuck, that was such a good movie that I think I liked that one more than the first one, you know? And I mean, yeah. I haven't seen them both in a while, but it's like, you know, a double hitter. And you come up with number 3, you're like, ooh, choices were made. And this one definitely feels more in line of, I think, of what feels more natural. And yeah, because it doesn't even do the whole thing where it's like reading this, because even like the 89 one, maybe as much as Batman 89, but I feel like it doesn't really pile on like all the deep crazy lore of the comics, but like through like a lens of 89, it just kind of like, I could see them doing that. I could see them making it this, and it makes sense. You pick a different character just because of, like, you know, it's the sequel. It's moving things forward. Why do we want like some fucking made up character? We could have a character from the comics. And this one, it feels the same way. Like, it feels like it's not going into all the heavy, like overly complicated things with Brainiac or Kryptonian society. It's a lot more cut and dry, a lot more basic, but I think that works for this comic. But the only, like, really kind of, like, there's, like, two small little Easter eggs that imply a bigger DC universe, and you see, like, a few newspaper clippings about a Bat-Man in Gotham.
Yeah.
And then, like, at some point, there's, like, he's looking into, like, the glass jars of, like, you know, of a Brainiac's, like, you know, little, like, bug collection or whatever, and you see Thanagarians flying around in one of them. So it's like, okay, so there's your two little Easter eggs. Beyond that, it's going to be as if this thing came out like in 82 or 83.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's actually kind of, I almost kind of like that they do sort of play it that way, like, hey, let's just play it like it is the third movie, like almost to give yourself those kind of sort of rules and regulations of how to kind of go about it, you know. And the thing I started thinking about too is like, gosh, I'm like, you know what's the weird thing about the Superman, like those old movies, is there's very few of the people like still left alive from that. Because I think Lois Lane passed away, of course Superman passed away, Richard Donner I think passed away.
Jimmy Olsen was the security guard in Justice League when Barry Allen goes to see his dad.
Oh, really? Okay, so yeah,
that's a cameo.
Yeah, Jimmy Olsen's still there. Hackman's still, he's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say so. I didn't think so, but it is kind of weird.
They still write him like Gene Hackman, but yeah. He's not wearing the stupid fucking wig, you know. Maybe at the very beginning.
Yeah, get rid of that wig. I don't think he even does have that. Like, but he still has that. Like, oh, greatest criminal mind of the century. Ha 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 ha. And Lois Lane's just like, shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. Quit trying to like raise yourself up here. Like, you invited me in here. Like, you're gonna like talk about yourself in the third person? Well, yes. Lex Luthor always talks about himself in the third person because he's the extreme master. Shh, 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 shh. Stop that. What are you doing? just show me whatever you want to. Oh, okay. Well, I made this really cool. Well, this is getting farther ahead of the story, but whatever. You know, I mean, I put a bug on Superman, and now I can hear him in the Bottle City of Kandor. How about that?
Well, I'll say this. Gene Hackman Lex Luthor has never been my favorite iteration, but for the time, I get it. I get why they went there, you know?
Yeah.
I still prefer, like, my... He's kind of like a cross between, you know, like, a
car salesman?
Talk today. Yeah, used car salesman and, like, a, like... Listen here, she, yeah! Like, with a dash of, like, a mad scientist. So, like, I kind of, like... It's an interesting combination, and I get how you land on that at that time, especially since, you know, comic books at the time weren't respected. So, I get how you get to that. And who knows? I really don't know how Lex Luthor was written back then, in all honesty. Because I don't have any Superman comics dating back to the 70s, really. But, at the same time, like, I think it works for this because, you know, sometimes people just want to totally pretend like that never happened and here's the new updated version for this comic. This will be taking place in 78, but I think it works for what they did, you know. I still think, and they even, like, because he still has some of, like, the wit, because even in, like, you know, there's, like, a line where Metropolis, Superman just got kidnapped by Brainiac, or the city's getting lifted up into Brainiac's, one of his jars or whatever, and Lois is turning around like, I got to start writing the article for this. And then, like, Luther's like, it's Luthor with an O and an R, just so you know. Just, like, small little, like, lines like that. Because she's known for being, like, a horrible speller.
Yeah, like he's caught it where she, like, you know, wrote bad and everything. Well, even to say about, like, Clark, because even Perry's all like, he's like, here's the thing. You got better grammar than a dictionary, and you could spell better than anybody else, but that's about all you're good for, Clark. I don't know why you're really still working here.
His dick is on the chomping block on this, and I don't know if maybe they do address it after the fact, but I don't know if they actually do, thinking back on it, because it was just kind of like, Clark, what the fuck you doing? You're bringing me Great Caesar's Ghost, Clint. You're bringing me stories about fucking, like, puppies being adopted? Well, you don't want to have, like, doom and gloom all the time, man. You need to have some happiness. Get that hippie shit out of here.
Doom and gloom all the time. Clark, when you walk in the fucking office, what's the sign that everybody slaps as they walk in? It says doom and fucking gloom. Well, don't say fucking on it, sir. Oh, it's going to say fucking on it. Next time you come in, you better fucking believe me, it's going to say fucking on it.
Because guess what you're doing today? Hope you brought some clothes you don't care about. You're fucking painting on there.
Sir, well, I'm not too sure. Fucking isn't really even a word. Don't you give me that dictionary bullshit. Don't you put ing on there. I want it fucking with an apostrophe.
And an N.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking is right, you know? But yeah, that's sort of it. It's just like, that's how it sort of starts off. I guess if Brainiac didn't show up, you know, Perry would have, this is what he's got. He's like, nothing's been going on, so I'm just going to fucking, like, you know, rag on fucking Clark here.
Yeah, well then, like, you know, Brainiac comes in the big, because I guess that's the thing about it, is usually I would imagine in this kind of movie there would be, like, another action scene or two. I mean, you know, he kind of, like, in a very comical fashion stops a mugger, which is something that would happen back in Richard Donner, Christopher Reeve, Superman. And then Brainiac comes in, a couple robot fights, and then he's all like, I've come because there is a Kryptonian among you, and we can't have that because they're dangerous, so I'm coming to take him away. And then Superman's like, well, it'll just be safer for everyone if I just go with him. Where I think in a movie, not a comic, but in a movie, there would have been a little bit more lead up, a little bit more time to breathe between that. And he goes with him, and Lex Luthor's acting like, this is the greatest thing ever. And at the same time, there's also, like, a funny, quick little scene where you see him at the unemployment office. He just got out of jail. Like, we see you have, like, we I don't remember what they offered him. I think they're saying,
like,
we think we got a janitor or something like that. Yeah, I was like,
we
might have a job for you at the law office. Well, that is below my abilities, but I'm sure I can get a start there. Like, how are you with janitorial work? And they just see, just like, a pause.
And just, it's like three panels of his face, the exact same.
Then just him walking out, you know. So, you know, it's kind of one of those type of things where with him, like, he's always kind of like he's more of a comic relief villain. Like the first one, he's the big villain. Ever since then, he's like, oh wow, just sneaking up behind like Clark with like a net, basically, you know, like hiding behind like a tree that's way too thin and small. You know, that's kind of what they make him after a while, which it works for when it came out, you know.
Well, it's like the thing too, because I even like how in this story, like, okay, Brainiac's, okay, people, I know that I probably scared the living daylights out of you as a giant robot man showing up. I'm taking the Kryptonian back. He's given up. He got a few punches in, but you know what? He says it's going to be better if he just goes with us peacefully and quietly. So, you know what? You monkeys down here, you know, live your life, and maybe in 2,000 years I'll come back for you. So, till then, toodaloo! You know, and he flies off. And then I just love how, like, as he's up there and, you know, Superman's doing his thing, but then it's like, what makes Brainiac turn around, he's like, is because Lex Luthor starts, like, just, like, messing with the frequencies so Lois Lane can send a message to, like, Superman up in the bottle city of Kandor in a ship. And he's just like, oh, that mother... Brainiac just sitting there, that motherfucker... One smart ass fuck. You know why he comes flying back down? Okay, one of you down here. One of you down. Who send the fucking transmissions? Who's doing that? No, you are not that advanced yet. You don't even have flying cars down here. What is? You know what? That's it. That's it. The 2,000 year thing totally off now. You guys are all coming with me.
You're all part of my ant farm now, motherfucker.
Exactly. You know what?
I think it's funny, just like the smallest thing, because you think, like, you sons of fucking bitches. Just trying, like, he's trying to, like, listen to, like, old-timey radio, and then, like, the frequency's coming in, like, son of a fucking whore. All right, whose ass do I gotta beat now? He's going down.
Because that's all it is. It's just like, it's literally the frequencies come in. It makes him fucking like turn the whole ship around.
That's like it.
Vacation is off.
I just like to imagine he has like, you know, like a like fucking emergency brake from like a 1974. He just pulls it, rips it, stops
mid-space. Makes like some space tracks.
He, like, looks in his rearview mirror, just sees, like, fucking Earth, like, looks over his shoulder, like, motherfucker, just, like, spins the wheel, just, like some asshole just, like, rear-ended him.
Yeah, exactly. And goes back, you know, all the while, you know, Superman's there, he's, like, he's putting the candor and whatnot, and he's like, oh, hey, Mom, Dad, I thought you were dead, that's what it said, and all, like, the transmissions that you left of me, and all the, you know, the home video recordings.
Like, yeah, we... Hindsight, we didn't see that. We didn't see this coming either, you know. But we, I think one reason why this plot line probably would never happen is because working with Marlon Brando again, this probably would not have happened. And like, what better way to get this in here?
Yeah, well, it's like now it's like, well, okay, Marlon Brando's dead, so now we can draw him and freely use his acting skill without having to actually have him in the room.
Well, it's kind of it's funny to me because he was a guy who was like, you know, a very talented actor. But at the same time, he was fucking insane. And a lot of times he came in like, he's like, I'll come in, I'll do your superhero movie, but I'm just going to look down at the cue cards. And just looking at the cue cards, he could, and he still has this like very like stoic kind of presence. And he really is just saying things like, I will just find a pod. We're all going to go boom and whatever. But you believe it, and he just kind of sells it in the writing of that. Like, this, like, father saying goodbye to his son, and it just seems so believable. It was just like, fucking turn the card over. it's like, you know, if that's him, like, on a bad day, just, like, kidding, like, hey, so we want to have you in a few more scenes, and we're just staying in this white room. We have the white room here. We're good. And like... Can we get you to move closer to this, like, pile of crystals? You can push the pile of crystals towards me. All right. Well, I guess we're doing that.
You know, it's just one of those ones. And the fact, first guy ever to get paid $1 million for a movie. It's one of those ones, like, I always think about Marlon Brando. It's like, okay, granted, he is a, you know, I'm not denying he's not a good actor, but it feels like he's such a terrible actor to work with that it's not even worth it, like... I mean, like I hate to say it, like, you'd probably get Charlton Heston to come in and play fucking Superman's father, and it would probably work just as well, you know what I mean? And I bet you he might even do some more movement, and you don't have to put the you don't have to push the crystals towards him. He'll walk towards the crystals. He'll probably get paid half the price.
Well, it's also like, these goddamn Kryptonian crystals are gonna blow up this damn plant, you know? Just like, Heston, like, listen, little Kal-El. If anyone gives you any shit, you burn them with your goddamn laser eyes, you know, so.
If I had laser eyes right now, I'd be using them, but we got this shitty-ass red sun here.
Stupid goddamn communist. Goddamn communist fucking Democrat sun.
That's why the planets all go into hell.
We're not, like, it's just one of those things, like, I could definitely see Charlton Heston doing that, playing Jor-El. At the same time, though, I mean, I think that the whole, like, well, we put up with it, he's Hollywood royalty. Yeah, but he's been kind of a fucking dick. Hollywood royalty, where now it's like...
Did you not see The Godfather? You know what I mean? Like...
now it's even that was, I think, maybe I'm mixing up. I think it was Superman who was reading cue cards, but I think maybe I heard Godfather. Maybe I may have got those mixed around, but I'm pretty sure it was Superman at least. But yeah, I mean, you probably couldn't pull that shit as much now because now people's tolerance for that's a little lower, and now people are getting called out. I mean, people got called out for things far worse than that, but at the same time, there's like now people are like, you know, they're very outward about, like, you know, James Corden's kind of a fucking dick, you know? So,
yeah.
And now it's just like, he's not as hired for as many things, or just that's just one random example, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I think is that that was the time period where I feel like the audience was much more separated from what was actually going on. You know what I mean? Like, really at the time, probably nobody even knew about this. That was kind of like you had to be on, like, the inside to kind of know. But as time has gone on, where nowadays I feel like it's really quickly to be like, hey, this guy fucked up on set. Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. I don't want to work with him anymore. People like him. Yeah, people like a lot of people. You know what I mean? We'll find another one.
Yeah, so I mean a lot of shit. I mean, David Russell's been,
I mean, God, let's be honest, he's no Marlon Brando.
Well, it's like, well, it's also one of those things, like, for instance, like, I don't want to go into more like go into like more, I will get back to Superman in a second, but like David O. Russell, he's known for being a difficult guy and kind of an asshole to work with on set, but and he did it for a long time. But now it's coming back to bite him in the ass real hard. So it's just kind of like that thing. I think if they're, Marlon Brando will probably not get away with nearly as much of the shit if he was still alive or born another a few decades later or something. But I do like the idea they bring him back, because more than likely that is not something he would have got for the movie, because back then, because he probably would not have come back for it, you know, and he probably would not have done as much as he did in this. I mean, granted, he's still standing in a white room dressed in white, but I mean, he has more interaction with other people.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those ones, you know, he'd want like $3 million or something by this point, you know.
It's
but
a third movie.
Yeah. But it's one of those ones where, at least in this one here, like, you, I feel like it is kind of cool that, like, oh, Superman gets to kind of go and reunite with his people and everything like that, and, like, they've just been trapped in here. Like, what have you guys been up to the last, like, you know, 35 years? Yeah, son, nothing's really changed. Still wearing white. Still next to the goddamn crystal here. They pushed it towards me. I keep looking at it, but I don't want to walk away.
We drink, well, like we like sometimes like just like organize the crystals and just we just reorganize them and just like shapes and pointiness. It's kind of like, it depends, is it Tuesday or is it every other Tuesday? You know, that's what we do to make the path. We sometimes we talk about politics, but I mean, granted, we're in a what for as far from here, what looks like it could be just like a YMCA made out of crystals. It's like that size. And we have, like, these little test tube things where, God knows, we're fermenting to make this fucking wine. But, you know, it's, we're talking politics. Not like we can do a whole lot. Like, hey, the big green asshole is staring at us again. Like,
oh, he's naked. Yeah, thought he was a robot. Why does he have ass cheeks?
Oh, he's spreading. He's spreading. Just shit. This is how he torments us.
He likes to make it feel like it's a, like a lunar eclipse.
He says it's for science, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's like one of those ones. You know, robots, every once in a while, they just get a little weird, and the shit that they do.
Just starts dragging his dick up and down like the glass, and it's just like, it just basically looks like the fucking, like, space worm from Empire Strikes Back. But green.
You know, he tried that once on, like, the Thangarians, and someone got a hammer and smashed down on it. Oh, he didn't like that.
The worst part is, that guy's still alive.
It's okay, if he tries to kill him, he's just going to get reincarnated at some point anyway.
Thangarians, what do you do?
Exactly.
Yeah, then it's basically, I don't remember how they had some kind of device where it's like you could teleport out of there, but what would have been the point? Because I'm trying to remember exactly. They had some kind of device where you could teleport out of there, but what would have been the point? Because he has, by, you know, robot standards, he has superhuman strength and all this stuff, and since they haven't been around the yellow sun and all that, they don't have Superman's biology to the same extent when they would get out. So it's kind of this level of, like, when he gets out, he will, like, they would just be basically dead anyway. I think that's the reason why they never use this machine, or it could possibly kill them. But since he's Superman, he could survive. I think it was something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. And I almost want to say something that Lex Luthor did, too. It's like that made like Marlon Brando realize that like he had like a thought that he never had before until that, you know, frequency came in when Marlon when Lex Luthor's over there fucking changing the AM station.
Maybe that's it. It's like, 50s on 5, 50s on 5. Where'd it go?
He's just over there fucking tuning in Tokyo.
The whole thing with that, like, you're right. I think that's what it is. Like, it was kind of almost like a flash thing, like phasing through it or whatever. But it does the whole thing. Like, I think that wouldn't be a bad choice if they do, whenever they do the next Superman movie, if they do throw the curveball of like, oh, his parents are actually in Kandor, so he has a moment with them, or instead of having like, hey, son, here's a couple of like crystal VHSs of us, of home videos or whatever, they do like this thing where it's like, oh, it's he's fighting Brainiac for the first movie and he goes into Kandor for a second and then he has a moment with his parents before never being able to see them again. So, you know, something kind of like that, you know?
Yeah. Or be like when Kevin Costner leaves his fucking VHS recording or something, they're like, don't let anybody fucking know. Hide. Let that bus go down. Fuck him. Hey, how's that kid? You know fucking Johnny on that? He drives by and always throws the eggs at our house. Fuck him. He's on that bus. I don't have to deal with his shit anymore. I don't want him working down at the factory later on in life. Do you want that guy working at the factory? You trust him making anything?
That is the thing about Man of Steel. Because I'm actually, we both like Man of Steel.
I love Man of Steel, but Kevin Costner's hilarious in it.
Well, the thing about it is, because you think like Jonathan Kent, like you think he's just like this, you know, like salt of the earth, like working class dude who's just like understanding, like, you know, best dad in the world kind of thing. But he's just kind of like, what was I supposed to do, dad? Let them drown? Probably. Fuck him. I don't know. And then at some point where he's even kind of like when in Batman v Superman, when he's like having his vision with his dad, like, yeah, so one time there was a flood, and instead of letting it kill our whole family, I dug a ditch, and if the flood, the water went in, out, and we saved our farm, but it killed a whole other family.
And then there actually used to be a town next to Smallville. Not anymore.
Smallerville.
Now they call it Floodville.
There's only 3 buildings in Smallerville, so when the flood took it away, it wasn't as much, it didn't do as much damage, but still, you get the idea. And the whole part where he's all sitting there, he's just like, because ultimately the idea of like, I saved my family, did the right thing, but it hurt someone else, so what's the point? Why do anything, son? He's literally like that. He's literally the dad, like, hey, dad, I'm going to go vote. Well, fucking vote. not like your voice is gonna make a difference. Watch try. You know, he just comes across as like just, hey dad, I got dreams. I had dreams once. What happened?
Just like, what happened? Just beer comes up, silence, TV comes up a little bit louder.
Doesn't even
make eye contact.
Just hear, come and knock on my door. We'll be waiting for you. He turns it up louder. I like this one. This one's funny.
I know, that's the funny thing. It's like, you know, Jonathan Kent's supposed to be instilling these values, but this Jonathan Kent just has this. It's like, no, don't try. Well, you think you're better than everybody else out there? Like, let's be honest. You're not going to make the team, Clark. You're just not.
The only way you make the team is those powers, not because you're actually good at anything. Shit.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Oh, Paul Kent. Oh, boy.
Oh,
but
good
no,
off.
It's like... I do think there's somewhere I was going with this, but like, just the idea of like, I kind of I was going somewhere with it, but fuck it, yeah. Costner is Kent.
Oh, I did kind of forget that, like, in this one, Brainiac's not just like a pure robot. It's like he was once the alien that, you know, implanted himself into or he like took his mind and put himself into a robot's body. Because they have that like that flashback. Like change,
that sounds like a change they would make back then. Like he was the last survivor of his race, but he just lived like a millennia for putting his brain into the robots.
Yeah, exactly. He's from like the planet Kalua or whatever.
He does look like Brainiac like 5 or whatever from Legion when they have the flashback.
Yeah, kind of like that style. Well, for some reason, too, here, it's like, I can't remember if it's, like, showing, like, his mom, but it's like, he's like, I used to have long, flowing blonde hair and played in a cover band of Poison.
Like, you and Lex have a lot in common, because one of the original origins of Lex is like, I lost my fucking hair! Like, well, have you heard of Keeps, today's sponsor?
Too late for that! You know. But, so yeah, it's kind of got that and so on, and then, I also like how, like, Lex Luthor also has to, like, he, like, literally asks Lois Lane, like, hey, can you come by my office later on? Cool. But then he has to sneak out back, and, like, when she's, like, at the front or back door or whatever, and chloroform her and, like, bring her on in, like, what was the point of that? Well, I don't know. Felt like I haven't done anything dastardly in a while. You didn't do anything to me while I was asleep for the last 6 hours. No. Well, Lex Luthor, greatest criminal mind ever, not greatest rapist alive.
He's like, that's my cousin, like Rex Luthor. And just like same, just like looks exactly the same, just has like a twisty mustache.
Yeah, exactly. One of those ones.
just creeping behind a tree with like a fucking, like a dick dastardly, like smiling.
Exactly. Yeah, I was trying to look through here to see exactly like what it was when fucking Superman like phases his way back in.
He phases his way back in, and he and Brainiac have a tussle, just kind of like an old fashioned kind of like, we're gonna be flying around, just that whole like man versus man slamming into shit kind of fight.
Well, that's what I love is like the first like Superman comes out, he starts throwing fucking punches, and then like Brainiac like throws him into like his like fucking like collection of like ant farms or whatnot. It's like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, I'm all down for fighting, but Jesus, not my precious collection.
Well, then like he also, you know, he Superman collects them all and sets him back up, and the fight continues, and he gets into like a bigger robot and fights. And like while reading this, there's a part of me that can't help imagine what, because they do keep it more grounded to a certain extent. I mean, it's Superman fighting aliens and whatever, but at the end of the day, I mean, they keep it grounded more in the aspect, because you know, if this was a movie that came out today or a comic that came out today, shit would get crazy. You know, like the whole ship would be part robot, there'd be metal tentacles coming out, and there'd be like a bunch more Brainiacs and all this. So I'm kind of wondering, like, I think they keep it look visually interesting, but they make it look certain ways. I think it would have looked back in the late 70s, early 80s, if this version of the movie would have came out. I mean, maybe a little bit more shine on the suit and all that. Who knows how it would have looked in motion. But like, I don't see Brainiac in like the 70s transforming into a bigger version of himself. I see him getting into a robot suit and fighting Superman, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, because I always got to kind of think, it's like, you got to kind of deal with what special effects you sort of have. Like, probably if it was, like, the movie, he might not even get into a suit. He might just fight Superman as is.
Mm-hmm. Or they do, like, a perspective thing where he's just like, I'm growing. And, you know, he just, like, just Christopher Reeves a little, like, farther away from the camera with a guy playing for do that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, though, I think Superman kind of battles through, and I like how Shaggy's in the audience for a second.
Like, holy fuck, man!
Yeah, just like, all of a sudden, it's like, it's not like there's any of the other Scooby-Doo ones, but there's just a guy, like, literally dressed like Shaggy with all that. I mean, it's Warner Brothers, so I guess you can do all that, but...
Richard Pryor's in the background once or twice.
Yeah, that is true. They do sort of show him there as well, but yeah, Superman, you know, defeats Brainiac, and... Then he takes pretty much all, like, the bottled studies and puts them in, like, his, like, you know, man cave and goes, you know, one day, I'm going to figure it out, Dad. I'm going to be the greatest scientist ever. Don't you forget. I'm going to get you out, you know. That's your boy, Kal-El. He's going to do it. He's going to win that science fair.
just you wait and see, Dad. And, you know, he's like, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, just leaves them in the Fortress of Solitude. Comes by, like, once a month, drops, like, some fish flakes in there. Calls it good.
Yeah, exactly. Son, could you not turn the... Oh, he turned the light off again.
Gets
another 28 days of darkness.
gets to like the last jar. Like, oh, sorry, Oa, we're all out of fish flakes. Next time.
Gosh, and the worst part too is you're the fishiest of the looking species in here too.
Yeah. Makes you feel kind of bad. Kinda.
Yeah. I'm just gonna take a bite off this power bar and spit it in.
I'm gonna mama bird it for you.
there we go. Okay, everything's back to normal until Clark gets back to the office, and Perry's just like, you know what, Clark, what'd you do? Brainiac was out there for like an entire week and you got nothing. Well, I must have fell asleep again. You fucking fell asleep again. Sounds about fucking right, Clark.
It's like, how does he, if they think this is the same guy, how does he have that job? You know, I'm just kind of wondering that to some extent.
Well, because you think that's the thing, is you think Clark would always be at least, like, turning in stuff. Be like, here, I wrote this in, like, 2 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, there you go.
Well, in the comics, that's very much the case. But sometimes they make him so much of a dope, and he's always tripping over his own fucking feet. But at the same time, like an all-star Superman, I can see how you can confuse that Superman, like that Clark Kent, with Superman, because he's hunched, he always has his hair a little more frazzled, and he's way more klutzier and all that. So, you know, I can see how you do that, where it's like in Man of Steel, it's just like, motherfucker, you ain't fooling, apparently you're fooling some people, but I mean, he's just like, Clark, you were supposed to be covering the goddamn Laker games, like, Perry, there's a lot of serious things happening out there. Just like, are you shitting? He's coming in like nice suit, just all like that Superman fucking confidence, and just like, whew, man, I know that wasn't a Cavill choice, but it was just one of those things like, I'm not buying that.
Yeah. No, I like the Clark Kent like dope kind of like thing where like he is just kind of a goofball. Or I think one of the best ones, I think it was Superman of All Season, or no, Superman. I thought it was that one, actually. But the one it's a Grant Morrison Superman one where, like, All-Star Superman, yeah. Where he really goes out of his way, like, he blows himself up so he looks kind of like he's overweight and just kind of like a kind of a goofball, and his hair is always a mess. And, like, he does so many, like, extra things that makes it so, like, you can't put... You couldn't think that Superman and Clark Kent are the same guy.
Sticks his gut out, basically.
Yeah,
pretty
much.
Yeah, so that one's real. Yeah, that of course is one of the Superman books everyone always goes to, which of course I'd love to see that. I think if we're a few years off from that, because it's so fucking weird and abstract. And I mean, he's fighting the fucking Sphinx, you know, and yeah. going against like Samson and some other like shit, you know. So it's like there's like a bunch of like, you probably have to rein it in a bit, but that is a great book.
Yeah, I mean, they got the one movie of it, so.
Yeah, I'm just saying if they did do a live action, everyone's always saying, do that one. I love it, but I don't know if they'd have.
Yeah.
I don't know how that shit's going to come out. You got Kryptonians coming in dressed in purple, like, this place fucking sucks. Kicks over a statue of his family.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, I'd like to read that one again, too. It's been a while since I've, like, almost like 10 years or something like that, maybe. I don't know, but it's a good book, though.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Superman 78 one, I feel like it's one of those ones, if you like any of the classic Richard Donner Superman type stuff, this one fits in really well with that. It's totally cool. You know what I mean? It's got good action, good story, whole way through and everything like that.
Yeah, really, if you're into Superman, especially the retro 78 style Superman, I recommend checking it out. It's a fun book. I think I liked it more than Batman 89 comic. I hope they continue these, just because I would like to see, even though I think they can do more with them, I would like to see other like comic book characters put through like this retro movie filter, you know, like not just all the obvious ones. Like, I think they should do something where they keep it to like characters that were available at the time. Like, I don't think they should do like Hush for, if they do continue Batman 89, don't do Hush just yet because he's wouldn't be out yet. But just, it'll be interesting to see what other characters they pick and pull from, you know?
Yeah, no, it'd be kind of cool to see them make some more sequels to these. Because I feel like, I mean, granted, this one's second, but I felt like it's almost like 89 came out, and it's good, but it's like, you know, it still kind of has some things that kind of throw you, like, just a little bit outside of, like, the 89 or 95, whatever you want to kind of look at it, time frame. Where I felt like this one here feels like it felt just that much more dialed in. Like, it definitely was the one where it's just like, okay, I felt like they kind of learned. They're like, you know what, let's make it 100%, like, in the 70s. Let's not do the Batman 89 one where we start implementing some, like, modern-day writing stuff in there. Like, no, let's just keep it, like, literally, like, if it was. And I think that's what works out really well in this one. This one's just solid all the way around for that.
Hopefully they don't do Batman 41 where he's like, we're going against the Japanese mad scientist, and just a white guy squinting really hard. Like, some of us didn't age as well.
Well, I mean, I'll even say this, though. It would be kind of cool to see, like to do a Batman 41, but just kind of, you don't play it, like, as if it was, like, that, but just to kind of keep it, like, maybe that even sort of style, but then just add some things into it there, too.
Maybe not, like, the old movie serials, but, like, Batman, like, take it, or even Superman, like, it takes place in the 40s. It doesn't have to be black and white, but it takes place in the 40s, and maybe you're in some aspects retelling certain stories from that time, but give it kind of like a modern, like, contemporary, not like not have him say that's dope or anything like that, but I mean more of like have him be a little bit more like the quality of writing of today. Like, if you had someone like trying to blank on his name, like Ed Brubaker writing a Batman story in the, like, set in the 40s, something kind of like that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool just to see more kind of period pieces, because that's the thing, is it's like it's more of a challenge. I think some people, like, they'll go to write things and then they think too modern when they're writing it, and it's like, I think the thing is you got to put your mind, like, 100%, like, if it's that time period, and really get back there. And as I said, that's why I think the Superman 78 one, like, it felt like it does feel like it takes you back, like it's a movie or something like that. But
yeah, it felt more 78 than Batman felt 89. So yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, but it'd be kind of cool to see more stuff where it's just like, you just throw Batman, because that's the other thing, there's only so many movies if you want to do continuation. I mean, you can continue these ones. It's like Supergirl, like 86 or whatever.
Yeah, baby steps. Let's focus on what we got. And there's a Linda Carter one, which I never really watched the Linda Carter's Wonder Woman, but that one's out there. So.
Oh, there is there one? Oh, that'd be kind of cool to check out then. I knew that there was the Batman 66 one, because I felt like that was the thing that started off. So probably the Linda Carter one was probably the next one that they did, and then they kind of went from there. Shit, at some point they'll be like, what is it? It's Batman 2006. Oh, that did, so there's some kids like, man, that's so old.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind. I actually do like the idea of, like, movies that ended, like, if they did decide to continue it. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Dark Knight Rises, and I know for Christopher Nolan, it ends there, but I think we all, like, really, Batman was only active for, like, really 2 years, and then he took an 8-year break and then came back for 3 months. I mean, I think it's something that kind of, like, I think we would like to, I think it would be interesting if they did do, like, a continuation of Dark Knight, you know?
Or, yeah.
Something, or like even like other like, doesn't have to strictly be Batman and Superman. You could reach into the wheel. I mean, I never read it, but they did have for a while they did have a Smallville season 11 comic, so
yeah.
But you know, I think it's interesting when they do that, and I hope they do more of that. Like, I think it'd be cool if they did like a comic version of what Zack Snyder was planning after the Justice League, you know.
Yeah, well, I always think that's always another thing, because that's like one of the best things about comic books, is it's like, it's the cheapest way to sort of get like a full idea across, in a sense. So it's like, it's, you know, if you want to make like a movie that never was made, or make a sequel to anything like that, it's like the comic book. It's like literally, like, it doesn't cost anything, and there it is. There you can kind of have it. I mean, like, yeah, it's maybe not be 100% of like what someone might want, but it still like shows pretty much everything that you could do with like an idea, or take something like, that's why I think it's kind of cool when they take like scripts that like were never made, and they're like, and then they finally just turn them to a comic book. It's like, that's always awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always cool when they do that. Like, I have the original Alien 3 script comic. I've yet to read it, but it's been sitting there for a while, like the original draft Alien 3, so I've been meaning to check that out.
You know what? That would be kind of fun. That's because I've always kind of wanted to do like an Alien 3 podcast anyways. It'd be kind of fun to do the thing where like watch Alien 3 first and then read the comic and, you know, do that one for a second episode.
Yeah, we'll have to wait a month or two down the line just because I'm still waiting. That book is...
Well, yeah. Well, once it...
Yeah. It's on a ship right now in a storage container somewhere in the middle of the ocean. So when it gets here, yeah.
Yeah, but that's something, because I've always wanted to do Alien 3 anyways, so I think that would be kind of a fun one just to pair those together.
Yeah, I'm up for that. And so I guess next, I mean, things change, might happen differently, but next one I guess we'll continue with Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah.
If there's time. If there's time, hopefully we can cover Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
And then definitely Pokemon. The only reason I say if there's time, Black Panther, just because video games take up more time than movies. So
yeah. You
just
gotta try. That's okay. We can fuse them together, because no matter what, we're going to go see Black Panther 2 anyways on opening day. So you know what I mean? Fuse that all together. Plus, that feels just like one of those ones. It'd be so interesting to see like what that all turns out to be and so on like that. So it's just that time period where just games galore too. Like, just feels like once you think you got kind of caught up, you never will, because there's just so many things. And Squaresoft's being like even... Or I sound like the most oldest person when I say it like that now, I guess. Squaresoft hasn't been called Squaresoft since like 2002, but but whatever. Square Enix, you know, it's like... I'm like, are you guys just mad? You guys are literally releasing like RPGs like every single week, like for like the next like couple ones. Like, yeah, fuck it. You guess what I'm better to do? Well, no, I guess not. Yeah, that's what we fucking thought. You know what I mean? Like... So like, there's a Star Ocean game, and then there's like the Tactics Ogre Reborn, and then there's like the Final Fantasy, like the PSP game. I'm trying to blank on its name right now, but Final Fantasy VII PSP game. Yeah, no, not Dissidia Cut. Crisis Core.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They got a remaster of that coming out. So it's just like one of those ones. And there's other stuff in between too that like. You know, there's like they're doing like their Harvest Moon like whatever game that came out. Just like it's like Square. Well, you do understand that every single one of your RPGs are probably going to be 30-plus hours each, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah, go buy them.
I just like to imagine it's three guys, like, in an office, just, like, fucking on Adderall, coding like crazy, just listening like, Master of Puppets, you know, just not stopping, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we got an all-nighter, boys! Let's fucking do it!
It was gonna just keep releasing RPGs like they're going out of style. But yeah, so yeah, there's that, and God, there's even that game Evil West coming out that looks pretty cool at the end of the month. Because one, you don't get very many times you get Western games, but like it's like a big budget Western game. But then it's also kind of like it's Western horror, so it's like that looks kind of cool, you know. But
yeah, I'm still just basically with like a with a cup and a straw, basically, you know, like with almost that level of I love the Switch. I love the Switch. But when it comes to like, you know, tech wise, it's so far behind on everything else right now. So I just feel kind of like, oh, I got the new like, you know, hologram deck. Like I got a stick and a rock, you know. So it's kind of like that.
Well, that's one of the things, like, because even I thought about like oh yeah, Sonic Frontiers comes out on the Switch as well too. I'm like. Because I'm at the point where I'm like, unless it's like a Switch game, I'm like, no, I probably should just get that on the Xbox. I'm really afraid of how it might run on the Switch. It'll be fine, but it might just be long load times and things like that.
If my PS4 was here, I definitely would have bought it on PS4. I'm going to say that right now. It is rough to look at, but it's running fine as far as I can tell.
Yeah. I mean, even on the Xbox Series X, it does kind of have that look like a... It looks like a PS4 Xbox One game that's just, like, upscaled. Like that's the best way to sort of say it. It doesn't look, like, super modern. I mean, it doesn't look bad, but it just... It looks kind of like... Almost like if I had no idea what was going on, I just said, like, hey, here's a Sonic game that came out, like, 4 years ago. I'd be like, okay, that looks about right. You know?
I mean, one that was of the time that looked of the time or like looked kind of like, oh, this looks next gen was Sonic 06, but that still didn't pan out all that well.
Yeah, because I almost feel like Sonic 06, just cutscene wise, those cutscenes in that game are like ridiculously good. Like, that was the thing I remember. Like, I actually will say they look better than Sonic Frontiers cutscenes. The Sonic 06 cutscenes look 10 times better, almost. Maybe not that much, but they mind-blowingly like how much like effort they put into those cutscenes in Sonic 06.
Yeah, that's something 06 does have over Frontiers, I will say. But yeah, we'll try to. I'm going to try and finish that by the end of this week or early next week, and hopefully we can cover it. I know I'm not going to 100% it, but at least get the main story done.
Yeah, exactly. But till then, go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books, like Pizza Boys, all our old animations and other fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes,
and I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.